This morning's sermon is about what we carry in our literal or metaphorical backpacks, briefcases, or lunchboxes. Chris was, his playing flute just reminds me, like, I play flute as well, and there's just something really important about having a practice such as that that you can pull out. We can refer to this culmination of beliefs and items as a suitcase of stuff, if we prefer, or maybe a bug-out bag. Or in my case, I refer to all of it as my baggage. Now, I realize that most people think of baggage as being a negative thing. And while sometimes it can be, but I've decided to take back the concept of baggage and intentionally sort through my respective stuff, honoring, prioritizing, discarding what I no longer need. Thus, my baggage becomes something that I can be mindful of, learn to love, and maybe even be proud of at some point. What are the things, the ideas, the beliefs, the prayers, the talismans, the reminders, or maybe even the emergency preparedness accoutrement? Like one of those car window breaky seat belt cutter thingies that we choose to bring along as our supplies to support our lives. Do we realize and mindfully choose what goes into our respective backpacks? Or do things just randomly fall in to then later fall out and surprise us, and not always in good ways? Maybe that is where the whole negative baggage connotation comes from. Do we periodically go through our little treasures and change them up when needed? This morning, I have decided to add this Black Lives Matter sign to my baggage as a reminder of the fear of difference that exists in our world and how much work we have yet to do. This morning, in a Facebook post I shared, saying that Black Lives Matter does not take away from the reality that all lives matter. Both realities can stand as true. If one is uncomfortable with the notion that Black Lives Matter, before defacing a sign or doing some other act, look at your reasoning. Look into your heart. What are we truly afraid of? Why does Black Lives Matter take anything away from all lives? Be not afraid. And I pray. Pray the Serenity Prayer, which resides in my baggage, written by the American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, and was adopted as a first step prayer of the 12-step program. It is recited like a mantra by millions of people who are on a journey towards a life of wholeness and recovery. I believe that this process of looking within and taking stock has created safety for millions who struggle on a daily basis. And in earnest, I am certain that we each could benefit by adding 12 steps into our own lives. Niebuhr's prayer is a creed of sorts for life in general. Spirit of life and love, I added that part. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, and the ability to know the difference. It's a profound realization. There is something else important to know about the backpack. Whatever you put in, you can edit to fit your own theology or your own priorities or values. It is your backpack, and hence your rules. So, what do we carry in our respective backpacks? And are we even mindful that we already have such a thing? I love that Chris just put it right out there. He's like, I had no idea what you were talking about. We met this week. He's like, what are you talking about? And then all of a sudden, he got it. And he shared something really important, something vulnerable. Each week, I get questions about the upcoming week's sermon and what I'm thinking about. It's always kind of fun. I had such a conversation this week. The person that I spoke to had lost a family member who died suddenly, which prompted him to choose to return to the religion of his childhood. He explained that he carried Jesus with him for a while as he grieved until he felt better, and then he let the religion of his youth go. He knew that his religion would always be there for him, a loving community, when he really needed it. I think that is a very telling observation. We can pick up what we need at any given moment. How many of us have picked up religious spiritual beliefs or a commitment in a community such as First Parish, then only to put it down and then pick it up again later? No one in here has ever done that. That's impressive. I am very aware of the many families that have come to First Parish over the decades to continue a tradition for the sake of their children. And when their children move on, as children often do, the parents move away. And maybe later in life, or when facing a tragedy, they come back again. I think of the huge influx after 9/11, when we needed that sense of safety. That is where people turned, to church. People reach out in need, and that is why we are here, to reach back when needed. And clearly to poke those who have grown silent, those who are afraid. We are called to bring them into community, into a place of open-minded and hearted relationship. The same can be true for different types of community groups or any form of practice. We have them in our backpack. We carry them around with us, ready to break the glass in case of emergency. Beyond community or practice, we can often do the same with regard to identity. Questions about who we are, what do we stand for, what is important to us, and how we want to present ourselves to the world. Smart, capable, meek, afraid, in control, messy, maybe mad as hell. Many of us project who we think the world wants us to be instead of being who we are authentically. Maybe it's because we're afraid of being judged. The truth resides in our backpacks. It's where we hang on to concepts and make room for love, for compassion, generosity, and abundance, or maybe even greed, racial inequality, poverty, homelessness, grief. We can be sure that our hopes and fears reside in there as well as our opinions about all sorts of important questions. All of this stuff in our baggage may be what calls us to do the work that we do or have the concerns and passions that we do. How about political ideology? I have to dig deep for this one. I'm sure that it's stuck in the bottom corner of my baggage somewhere like an old piece of discarded gum. Yuck. I cannot look at the current political candidates without disappointment. I personally want to take manipulation through fear as a motivator out of our collective backpack. If we cannot be motivated by love and concern for our collective family, why use fear, Donald Trump? I personally believe it is religion's fault. The religious have been instrumental in using fear of hell and sin and the devil as the great motivator, keeping people in line for millennia. Haven't we learned enough about this tactic to stand up and say, no more? Stop using fear of the other as a tool to get you elected. It is unconscionable. That is what standing on the side of love is all about. We won't stand on the side of hateful and divisive rhetoric anymore. Reinhold Niebuhr insisted that man's capacity for justice makes democracy possible, but man's inclination for injustice makes democracy necessary. Look at the state of our union. We can see what happens when democracy fails us or is bent out of shape until it's indistinguishable from what it once was. That is in the backpack, although I wish I could power wash it out. What do we do with this broken reality, and what compartment does it go in? Someplace dark, lined with lead that we never open? Or maybe wrapped in a copy of the Declaration of Independence that, penned by a pack of Unitarians, shares, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Okay, I would ditch the patriarchal language. But for the most part, it's good stuff. Balance. I hold that in a special pocket, near the light where our hopes are close at hand, so that we can reach in at a moment's notice as we strive to make the world a better place. Maybe that is where we keep music as well, to help us cope and be inspired, or even at times to help us cry. What about the actual stuff that we carry with us? I love that stuff, the literal stuff, and how some of it might weigh us down or hold us separate from one another. I think of my smartphone, how it can serve as a shield between us when we look down to isolate or avert our eyes from one another. And yet I hear Maria talk about it as a tool. We turn to technology to connect us to a wider world, but in the same right, we lose our connection with those who are right here next to us, hoping for our time, hoping for our attention, hoping to connect with us. What does the technology that we carry say about who we are? The iWatch, the iPad, the iMac. Oh, you're a PC person? Now, isn't that interesting? I have both, so I dwell on neutral ground. How about that wedding ring? Hold it up. Hold it up. What does it mean to you, and how does it connect you to your beloved? And what does it say to the world? I do wear rings on occasion. The one that I'm wearing now is Native American. I got it many years ago in Santa Fe. The man, human, looks into the maze on this ring. Now, it means something to me in that if I face it so the man is facing me, I think about it being about my journey in the maze. When I flip it around, I'm thinking about your journey in the maze. So little things matter. How we find our way in this complex and mysterious life matters. This stuff has deeper meaning for me. Another ring I sometimes wear, and I've worn it for decades, says within it, carved inside, the truest wisdom. The whole saying is from Charles Dickens and reads, "Love is the truest wisdom." It is you. And it reminds me at times that there is a purpose. There is a reason why I'm here, why we're here. Around my neck, I wear a necklace that reminds me of my beliefs. It energizes and protects me. There's a small pendant that Marge Langmuir made of the Tree of Life, piece of rose quartz, and a blue stone that is supposed to support my throat chakra and help me to speak my truth in love. How about in my pockets? The key to my office, the minister's study, and a soft, round piece of rose quartz that I often hold in my hand. The meaning and power held within a rose quartz, unconditional love. It carries the energy of compassion and peace, tenderness and healing, nourishment and comfort. It speaks directly to the heart chakra, dissolving emotional wounds, fears, and resentments, and circulates a divine loving energy throughout one's entire aura. In my wallet, I won't pull it out, I carry important Chinese fortune cookie sayings about wisdom, about patience, about tenacity. The things of our lives, those photographs or snippets of paper, a note maybe, or a post-it. What do we carry in our pockets, carry in our briefcases that accompanies us on our journey? Each item, each emotion, each belief, every concern and pledge we have has deeper meaning. We know this, And yet, how much time do we spend thinking about what is in our backpack or in our baggage? What about the things on our desks, coffee tables? Or maybe we have an altar of sorts in our office or in our home. Anybody have an altar of sorts? Maybe on top of your dresser. What does it all mean? What are the messages that we tell ourselves with these important keepsakes? What about all of the music, the books, the poetry that consoles, compels, or enrages us? What is it really telling us about who we are in this world? The stuff in our spiritual backpack might give us courage and keep us upright at times. It is well known that Reverend Theodore Parker, my Transcendentalist Unitarian hero, harbored fugitive slaves in his congregation and would hide them in his home. It is often told that he would be home composing his church services and have a gun sitting on the table and a sword by the table. When he preached, he would lay a gun on the pulpit, just in case any slave catchers dropped by. There seems no record of him actually ever having to use either weapon, but he felt that they were needed. I am much more inclined to position my rose quartz, on the other hand, to protect us. But what does this story say about the times? What does it say about the good reverend? And have we progressed that far from then? Friends, we are important in this world. And our insights and what we carry in our baggage is important in this world. Maybe even the answers that we seek, if we seek, may be right here in plain view. If we are willing to dump out the contents and mindfully, methodically take stock, be daring, be bold, and empty it all out, sort through it, see it for what it is, keeping what counts, keeping what counts. And getting rid of what doesn't. Be daring. Be bold. Empty it all out. Sort through it and see it for what it is. Keep what counts. Discard what doesn't, and embrace the deeper meaning held within. Spirit of life and love, God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. Change the things that we can, and give us the ability to know the difference. Let us all, every single day, stand on the side of love. For this we pray. Blessed be. Amen.